I know some people might find it hard to believe this, but this is what, like, my 45th time doing this, doing an opening to an episode, and I still just feel awkward doing it. You shouldn't be awkward doing something 45 times, not to mention the dozens and dozens of episodes that I have recorded and haven't published because they didn't work out. Like, that's a sad truth that I don't want to get into because I don't want to feel depressed today. This is a good day. But anyway, it's hard to do something over and over and over again without it feeling repetitive, and it's still awkward. It's just a cold open. It's like straight up, okay, we're back in the Word of God now. So I'm going to do something a little different today. I think from now on, I'm going to open up with a little fun fact. And this one I got today is going to be amazing. And I saw this fun fact, and I was like, no way, this isn't true. I legitimately had to look it up because I couldn't believe what I was reading. It says here that Lake Superior State University in Michigan offers a unicorn hunting license. And right there, I was like, what? A unicorn hunting license? I mean, I know that the majority of my listeners are in Michigan, but that is the most Michigan thing I've ever heard in my life. That they actually have unicorn hunting licenses. And again, this was just on a random little fun fact website, so I decided to actually look it up. And right now, I am on the Lake Superior State University, the actual website, like the official website. And if you don't believe me, I'll put the link in the description. So here are some regulations, unicorn hunting regulations. The first one is questing territories. The questing territories you can be in is the Enchanted Forests, Earth, Outer Space, and number four, the most important, your imagination. And again, if you don't think I'm reading this off of a real college website, I will put the link in the description. Questing season. All days of the year except Valentine's Day. No unicorn pursuit is allowed during the 24 consecutive hours of love. Okay, so what's going to happen if I get a unicorn license and a unicorn hunting license and I'm hunting on... Can you imagine... Okay, so this is actually law, right? Can you imagine being arrested or being fined for hunting a unicorn on Valentine's Day? Like, if this is a law, then this can actually be enforced. Like, this is wild stuff. Questing season also is the bow and arrow season, but you can only use rubber-tipped arrows. Questing hours, day or night, with the exception of when the Tooth Fairy or Santa Claus is around. There can only be so much magic available at one time. Again, this is clearly a joke, but this is on a real website. I'm blown away. Bag limits. One unicorn a month, a success ratio higher than this, often results in a form of euphoria, which sometimes requires a mental trust, which is also rare to come by. Another bag limit is that female unicorns cannot be taken, since no one has ever sighted a female unicorn. Okay, first off, has anybody seen a male unicorn? And if they have, what a sad life. These male unicorns just growing up and having no female unicorns to give them company. There's no, like, movie dates with the unicorns, because unicorns apparently don't have females. That poses a whole new question that I'm not going to ask on this podcast. Let me see what else we got here. Okay. Questing uniforms. Garbs must be tailored individually. We recommend the colors of mortared red or Gawain green, depending on whether you're chasing the unicorn or vice versa. Okay. Then again, we're partial to purple, and come to think of it, all colors. Okay, so you can really wear any color you want when you're hunting unicorn. And okay, we are done reading about unicorns. That just was something that completely caught me off guard, that was real. So I hope you guys enjoyed that little fun fact. And now that we are done with that, we are going to jump into the real reason we're here and the much more impactful Word of God. And if you were here last week, you know that we ended off on Psalm 119, verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. But in Psalm 119:73, it says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I might learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Okay, so I want to stop there. And there's only one real point I want to drive home here. And that is, how do people perceive you? That's the whole point of this episode, is I want you to have a self-evaluation. I want you to pray and ask God to open up the parts in your heart and show anything that might be hidden from your mind right now or from your eyes in your own life. I want you to like actually do a real self-evaluation and see the way that people perceive you. Do people perceive you like they perceived the psalmist, whoever he was? Do people perceive you, and when they see you, are they glad that they're around you because you fear the Lord? Because they know that you hope in God's word, like it says here. Is that the way that people view you? That's a convicting thought, isn't it? And I, again, this is like almost beating a dead horse, or a unicorn for that matter, at the beginning of this episode. But just the idea that this psalmist had so much confidence. He had so much confidence in the fact that the people that fear God, the actual people that love God, the actual Christians, loved when they were around him. He knew that. He knew that they knew how much God meant to him. And he talks about over and over again in the past, well, I guess 72 verses, that the majority of the themes here are, God, teach me your word. God, with my whole heart, I want to learn your word. And just like in Deuteronomy, if we turn back to Deuteronomy, it talks about how when you learn God's law, you can't stop talking about it. You don't stop talking about the things that you love. The things that you love are evident. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to talk about it all the time, as I might have just made that seem. You know, a married couple doesn't always talk about their husband or wife. A married couple just shows the love. A married couple just shows the love that they have for each other. And since they show the love all the time, they don't have to talk about it all the time. You just know that they love each other. Same thing with God. And like I was talking about in Deuteronomy, it talks about how if you love God, you're going to write his law on your doorpost. You're going to talk about it with everyone that you see. Because when you love God and you actually seek him with your whole heart, it's infectious. People will know. And by that people knowing that you love God is going to weed out the people that don't love God. Throughout this psalm, we talk about a lot how you're not supposed to sit with the people who do wrong. You're not supposed to take pleasure in the people that sin. You're not supposed to be, I believe the word, not necessarily the word, but the idea in one of the passages is you're not supposed to be friends with them. You're not supposed to be acquaintances with the people that are sinners. Now, how do you do that? Because if you are constantly around those people, or you're constantly being that way, if you're constantly sinning, or you're constantly thinking about sin or enjoying talking about sinful things, you're going to attract those people. But when you're constantly talking about godly things, when you're constantly having the mentality that Christ had, which is loving people and abiding in God, when you constantly have that mentality, you're going to weed out those people. Listen, you won't have to walk away from those people, because those people will either walk away from you or be infatuated, will be so amazed by the love that you have for God and will want it. So those people will either walk away, or they'll draw closer and try to understand. The important thing to notice there is that you didn't go to them. They came to you. They came to you to see how they can be changed, or how this Jesus does amazing things in your life. So by that, you weed out the bad people. You weed out the people that God doesn't want you to be around. And when you seek God with all your heart and you actually learn his precepts and actually abide in him, the people that love God, the people that fear God, will ultimately love being around you. And with those people that love God, when they're around you, you're going to be around people that love God, and you're going to love being around them. That's the way it works. So I want you, while we keep reading through this, I want you to think about that. How am I perceived by people? Am I somebody who shows the love of God? Am I somebody who people love to be around? The people that love God, they just love to be around me? Or am I somebody that can hold a conversation with the most sinful people? The people that I shouldn't be talking to, the people I shouldn't be sitting down and eating meals with and just having communion with? Am I bringing in those people? Or am I bringing in the people that love God? Do the people that actually love God love being around me? How am I perceived by people? Verse 75, I know, Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. That's again talking about the goodness in affliction. If you want to hear more about that, you can listen to the last episode, which is how it's good to be afflicted. We talked about that. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I might live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they have dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate on thy precepts. Let those who fear thee turn unto me, and let those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Okay, so there's two more things I want to point out here, but it all goes with the same idea on how are you perceived. How do people perceive you? He talks about, let the proud be ashamed. First off, that shows that he does not want to be a part of those people. He wants to separate himself from those people. They're dealing treacherously with him. They're dealing perversely with him without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. The point being is that the proud, the people that are sinners, are doing perverse things to him. They're treating him poorly. And he's like, you know what? They don't really have a cause for this, but I'm going to meditate on thy precepts. Again, the people, if you are loving God and if you're meditating on his precepts and if you are actually learning with your full heart, you actually have your whole heart in this state of learning, in this state of trying to understand God's precepts, like it talks about over and over again, you're going to repel those who are proud. You're going to repel those who don't want to hear about the goodness of God. You're going to repel those people. And he's saying, God, even though those people that hate me are doing bad things, they're dealing perversely with me, they're not treating me right, I'm going to meditate on thy precepts. No matter what is going on, the Bible, God's word, is your comfort. He just said that he wants, that I pray thee, let thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word. He knows where his comfort is. And it's not in the people. It's not in the proud. It's not in the sinners. They don't like me, whatever. My hope is in you, God. That's an important point to get. And then he says, let those that fear thee turn unto me. He's saying, God, help those that fear you, help those who that love you, help those that reverence you as God turn unto me. Why? Why does he want the people to turn unto him? Because he knows that he can be an example. He already knows that the people that fear him love being around. He already knows that the people that fear God love being around him. Because they are get encouraged. Because he knows the way that people perceive him. He's saying, God, turn away the proud. Take the proud away, God. But let those that love you, let those that serve you, turn unto me. And turn unto me so that they can see your testimonies. And it, finally, he says, let my heart be sound in thy statutes. That word sound means complete. Complete. Full. That's what that word sound means. So let my heart be complete in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. That's amazing. He knows that the way to not be ashamed of God's word is to be full in it, to be complete. You know, we talk a lot about Romans 1:16. where it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and we want to be that. We want to get that way. But the thing is we don't fully do the steps to get there. You're not just all of a sudden not ashamed of Christ. You don't all of a sudden just talk about God with your friends. You don't all of a sudden just become that person that people can come to and perceive you to be a godly person. And that's not the way that works. You have to be full and complete in God. You have to be full and complete in God's word. You have to be sound in his doctrine. You have to be sound in his statutes. And once you are sound in his statutes, once you are full in his word, once you are complete in his judgments, then you will be not ashamed. That's what it says here. You don't just all of a sudden become not ashamed. You don't just all of a sudden be perceived to be the person that God uses all the time. You don't just all of a sudden be perceived as the godly friend. That's not the way you are. That's not the way it works. You have to be complete in God's word. So my question to you today is, how are you perceived? And if you are perceived as the person, you know, that's always a funny person or always a snarky person or always, I don't even know. You fill in the blank. What are you perceived as? If you're perceived as anything else other than the person that I can trust, the person that I can go to with my Bible questions, the person that I can go to and be guaranteed to be spiritually encouraged, then you need to figure out what you're doing wrong. And this isn't something that I'm perfect at. I like joking around. I like being sarcastic. If I didn't like joking around, I wouldn't have started this episode talking about making fun of Michigan, about the whole unicorn thing, which I still think is hilarious. But I hope that at the core of what people know me as, it's not the person that likes to joke around, not the person that likes movies, not the person who likes to just play practical pranks. No, what I hope that people can view me as is the person that loves God. That's what I want to be known as. And to the best of my ability, I've tried to be known as that. Not because I'm anything great. That's something to point out, is that you won't be, when you're known, if you ever come to the point where you're known as that person, it's not because you're great, it's because you're complete. A sinner can be complete. And the only way that you can be complete is in the word of God. So then, that then doesn't mean that you're complete in yourself. That doesn't mean that you're the great thing that made you complete. The great thing that made you complete is God's word. So you then still don't have anything to brag on other than the fact that God made you complete. And that's how you're not ashamed. That's how you can be that kind of friend to people. So how are you perceived? Are you perceived as a person that loves God? And the only way to be known as that, the only way to not be ashamed of the word of God, the only way to not be scared to talk about the things of God, is to be complete in it. Is to find your worth in him. The Bible doesn't call you to do anything that you can't do. It calls you to be complete. It's calling the broken to be mended. It's calling for the shattered to be made whole again. It's calling for you to be complete in God's word. And as we end off yet another episode, I want to remind you of John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's you, that's me, you can put your name in there, that he gave his only begotten son. Don't forget that you are loved by God. Don't let anybody tell you that you are not worth it, because you were worth enough that Jesus Christ bled and died on the cross for you. And don't forget, you can follow me on Instagram and DM me with any questions, comments, or concerns you might have on this episode, and I will gladly get back to you as soon as possible. So until next time, God bless.